Well, it's no mystery that we go through trials and troubles and tribulation at times in our life. And there are some that are going through very serious trials and troubles right now. And it's testing their faith. And it's making them question some things. And we need to keep them in prayer, as we need to also keep ourselves in prayer, that we may always be able to stand and have the faith that we need for the trials that come. Now, last evening I prayed and decided, I think by the prompting, to go ahead and give a message on overcoming trials, facing the fiery trials that we sometimes do. And woke up this morning, and the first thing that I was told was, I've got some bad news for you. This was Carrie coming up to me, and I said, well, what is it? She said, our sewer system, our lagoon, is causing the system to be backed up. Now, this kind of reminded me of what happened just before Passover in Days of Unleavened Bread. We had a similar situation. So it seems like we get trials and troubles just before the feast days, because here we're coming up on Pentecost here next week. Or actually, not this Sunday, but the coming Sunday. So here we are dealing with some things. But I realize, you know, well, I already know what the problem is, I think, and so we can go ahead and maybe rent one of those spinner things that go down the pipe and, you know, clear it up. So that's not so bad. But I sat down at the computer and was wanting to finish up on the message. Still some typing to do, and I was looking forward to getting to it. Also wanted to do some further study, and so I sat down, turned on the computer, opened up my Bible program, which I've been using now for about a year and a half. I've never had any trouble with it. But this morning it froze up on me, and in such a strange way, I don't know what was going on. And I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, okay, you're helping me out, aren't you? Preparing me for the message today, because that's basically how I was looking at it. I thought, well, this is great. Now I have something to open with and to really get into the subject matter. Well, anyway, I turned off the computer, rebooted, because I've been told, well, that'll help, and I've experienced that as well. So sure enough, it did help, and, you know, after fooling with it in some other ways. But it did come up, started working. So I was able to move forward and get things done. But during these things, I wasn't really discouraged to any great extent. And I wouldn't call them, you know, fiery trials. There are some fiery trials that we go through, and there are some things that can really discourage us if we don't think about the future, what it holds, what the promises are in Scripture of our Heavenly Father and His Son. And it's just amazing how things come together, though. Now, Carrie got some mail today. Well, and we both got some mail, but she was opening something that she got. And I've never done this before, but I went ahead and took what she had opened up and you know, skimmed through it, and I pulled out this paper. And I thought, you know, I'll go ahead and look through this. I didn't afterwards. I thought about it, and I thought, I've never done that before. I've never gone up to my wife and, you know, she's opening up her mail. It's addressed to her. And I, you know, I take it out of her hand. I look through it. I said, you know, take it and then walk off with it. That's just not me. But this particular, it's interesting because this particular, it's called a World Challenge Pulpit Series. And this was a message that was given at Times Square in New York City. It's a preacher that's named David Wilkerson. But it's called The Most Important Issue of This Hour. And it's about having faith. It's about overcoming trials. And, you know, he gives some insight here, which I thought was interesting. I thought, well, Yahweh is really helping me out this morning because, you know, I had some material, but, you know, this is just adding to it. But it's interesting because it looks like you know, this particular subject is maybe something that Yahweh is causing others to look into and to look at more closely because of the signs of the times. Specifically, there are a number of things happening, and I think a lot of people, whether they're religious or not, are starting to look around and going, what's going on? Well, he talks about doubt and some of the things here, and he mentions here, the person could go, well, you know, Yahweh, why haven't you intervened for me? Why have you allowed such confusion in my marriage, my family? You have put on me more than I'm able to bear. Such an attitude, he says, can lead to a hardened heart and eventually spiritual deadness. And I have to agree. Our attitude is one not of defeat, but of conquering, of overcoming, of accomplishing the will of Yahweh in our lives. Now, it's Yahweh working that out within us. So we have to be confident that He will do what He says He will do. And He says that He will not forsake us nor leave us. And so we have that confidence. And he goes on further here to say, whenever we face afflictions and persecutions, Satan comes to us and whispers lies and things that can cause us fear. He said, quote, how are you going to make it through this crisis? You know, these are the type of questions we sometimes ask. What will you do now? If Yahweh is faithful, how could He allow this to happen to you? What will become of you, your family, your job, your ministry? But enduring faith rises up and answers the enemy's lies. Devil, you're asking the wrong questions. The question for me right now is not how I'm going to make it. It is not what shall become of me and mine. I have already placed everything, all afflictions, all trials, everything that concerns me, into my loving Father's hands. I have trusted all future events to Him, and He has proved Himself faithful time after time. He is trustworthy with my future. And we find this is true in our own lives. If we're overcoming, we find examples within our own lives of Yahweh's hand directly involved with our life. We can't deny it. We know He's there at different times, and we don't always experience His presence, but we can if we are determined to overcome with His help. Recently, we just got a bill for $1,000, and I was like dumbfounded, because what was done wasn't worth $1,000 as far as I was concerned. But yet we approached them and tried to negotiate a lower cost on what was done, and they wouldn't budge. So we determined that we'll need to go ahead and pay it. Well, it turned out the next day we received a check for $1,000. That's not the first time that has happened. We had another bill that came in. It was for like $750. Guess what? We got a check the next day for $750 because we were wondering, well, you know, if this keeps going on, you know, we're limited in our funds here. But Yahweh is faithful, and He's seeing us through. He's seeing us through personal difficulties. He sees us through. He sees the assembly through difficulties. And so we find that He is faithful, and we see it again and again and again. Now, let's start looking into some scripture here. Let's go over to Philippians 3. Did Paul think, you know, all was fine and dandy after, you know, he received the Spirit, that, you know, it would be smooth sailing? I don't think so. Philippians 3 and verse 8. I count all things to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Messiah Yahshua, my Master, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. He suffered the loss of all things. And his attitude is that, it goes on here to say, he counts them as rubbish so that he may gain Messiah. By gaining Messiah, what do we gain? We gain forgiveness of sins. We gain the ability to approach Yahweh's throne. We gain eternal life if we overcome to the end. And that's emphasized here. verse 9 it says, and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Messiah, the righteousness which comes from Yahweh on the basis of faith, that I may know him in the power of the resurrection, the establishment or the fellowship of his sufferings, being confirmed to his death. The fellowship of his sufferings. You mean we have to go through sufferings like he did? Yahshua died and was beaten and had a crown of thorns jammed onto his head. Do we have to suffer such things? Verse 11, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it, or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Messiah Yahshua. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting that which lies behind and reaching forward to that which lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of Yahweh in Messiah Yahshua. So he recognizes that there is something future. There is something that is beyond the here and now, beyond what we've had in the past. In fact, a lot of stuff that we've had in the past, we really need to get it way past us and move on, because there's something much better coming. But Paul is expressing here that he hasn't really obtained it yet. And yet there are those out there that are saying, well, once you're laid a hold of, boy, you can't escape. Well, Paul didn't feel like he had it all there at that time, that he hadn't obtained the resurrection, that he hadn't obtained eternal life. And I think we can find a second witness to this idea. Hebrews 10 and verse 35. We're admonished here, and we feel that this is Paul's writings in Hebrews, but in verse 35 it says, do not throw away your confidence. What? You mean we can throw it away? Verse 26 certainly indicates that. But it says, your confidence which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of Yahweh, you may receive what was promised. So there are promises, there are rewards for overcoming and for having a confidence and having faith. In Hebrews 11, there goes into talking more about faith and those that were faithful by being obedient, by doing what was right in Yahweh's sight. Verse 32, remember the former days when after being enlightened you endured a great conflict of sufferings, partly by being made a public spectacle through the reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers of those who were so treated. For you show sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. Did they suffer? Did the brethren suffer at that time? They suffered more than we can imagine. Verse 37. For yet in a very little while he who is coming will come and will not delay, but my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul, my being, will have no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the being. And we are to have confidence. I was reading through Job, who suffered greatly in Job chapter 8. It's like reading some Proverbs, almost, I notice in some of these. Job 8, in verse 13. What about those that don't have the hope that we have? What about their confidence? And it says, so are all the paths who forget Yahweh, and the hope of the unrighteous will perish, whose confidence is fragile, and whose trust, like a spider's web. You know, a spider's web, all you have to do is take a little twig and wrap it around the twig and it's gone. And that's the faith of some people that are out there, whether they confess they believe in Yahweh or not. Some of the faith is weak, and we are not to have weak faith. We are to have strong faith and confidence that Yahweh is a doer of the things he says he'll do, and is trustworthy to be to hold confidence in. But there are some fiery trials that can cause us to ask questions. And we know that Satan will try to influence us, just as he did with Adam and Eve. With Eve, he said, you know, certainly Yahweh didn't say that, did he? He started putting questions in her mind. And, you know, you read of that, and I think it's Genesis 2 there, but we find that, well, let's go back there. Genesis 3. In verse 1, going down there towards the end, it says, "Indeed, has Yahweh said," this is Satan, "has Yahweh said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden." Come on, he didn't say that, did he? In verse 4, the serpent said to the woman, "You shall surely not die." Come on. In verse 5 here, even gives encouragement for something that was forbidden. "For Yahweh knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes," speaking of the tree, good and evil, says, "in eating of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like Yahweh, knowing good and evil." So we're not unaware of what Satan can, you know, the kind of questions that he can put in our mind. Just like this minister is aware of the type of questions that can be put in a mind. But he also brings up Scripture, as we should, and bring that to remembrance as well. Just like Joshua did to Satan when Satan was trying to deter him, even though he's using Scripture. Well, we can use Scripture as well. Matthew 24:13 says, "He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." 2 Chronicles 15:2, "If you seek him, he will be found by you, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you." And these are things that we need to be aware of. 2 Chronicles 16:9, "For the eyes of Yahweh run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect," or is wholehearted towards him. So who will strengthen us? Yahweh will strengthen us. He will strengthen those that put their trust in him, and they will not be disappointed. That is the confidence that we can have in him and in his Savior. Or in Messiah, our Savior. Let's go over to Genesis 22. Speaking of some of the fiery trials, there's what happened recently? China. Over 70,000 people died through the earthquake there. We have Myanmar, the cyclone there, killed 40,000 plus. I'm not sure what the numbers are now there. We have the Louisiana hurricane, that Katrina, killed a number of people, devastated the area down there. We've had more things going on in this country, over 800 tornadoes within a very short period of time. And it's not really, you know, it was just, now we're getting into the tornado season. That was before the tornado season was really supposed to, you know, get into full gear. And so we're seeing some things, and we know that there is hardship for those that have to go through difficulties like that. Whole houses destroyed, ripped apart by these forces. And we know that as we look at these, we think of, you know, the birth pains that Scripture talks about, and how these things just seem to be one right after another. And people are going, what's going on? Here we have all these things. Well, there have been things in the past, but the point is, you know, if we have to go through something like that, it is indeed a fiery trial, because it is difficult. It's more difficult than having your sewer back up. It's more difficult than having a program break down that you're wanting to use, you know, for whatever. There are different trials that we all have to go through. Some are easy to go through. Others, we wonder, how can we make it? But yet we do, don't we? If we overcome, if we keep on keeping on. Abraham was certainly tested. Genesis 22 and verse starting there in 1. "Now it came about after these things that Yahweh tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. He said, Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac. So it's like Yahweh's reminding him, look, I know you love him, so I'm going to tell you, hey, you love him. He's your only son. I'm going to remind you anyway. He's your only son. He's not telling him, I'm going to test you. He's just giving him enough information to make him think and to see if he's going to do what's right. But he says, you take your son, you love your only son, go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. Did Abraham go, what? You've got to be kidding me. No, he didn't say anything. He took up what he needed and he left to do Yahweh's will. And there's a lesson there for us. The attitude, the ability to discern Yahweh's will and go, okay, if that's what Yahweh wants, then that's what I'll do, if that's what Yahweh is calling me to do. And many times we find ourselves in situations where we have to discern the clean from the unclean and know that Yahweh wants us to choose the clean, and we have to decide and make decisions to do what's right. And that many times these things are presented before us to test us. Genesis 22 and verse 16. By myself I have sworn, declares Yahweh, because you have done this thing. He was willing to do what Yahweh had asked him to do. But he didn't have to actually do it, which was another blessing. But you have not withheld your son, your only son. Indeed, I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sands which are on the seashore. And your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. A lot of promises there. Promises that are still being fulfilled. Things that are still going to come to pass. Because Yahweh is not done with these promises. Now, we receive baptism, spirit, and spirit with promise. And yet, like Abraham, we are tested and tried. I know of at least one couple that they expressed afterwards, after they were baptized, after they were immersed and they received the spirit, that the troubles that they had right afterwards was just not what they expected. They weren't counting on that. And they couldn't deal with it. And they left. And there's hope that they will come to their senses and come back, but they have wasted time by doing what they've done. But we are told through parables like the sower, the seed that falls on rocky ground, these type of things. We know that this will happen, that these things do happen. But Yahweh is telling us in all of this to overcome, be of good courage. Even Yahshua tells us, I've overcome the world, so be of good courage. So there is encouragement to overcome. There is encouragement to stay the course. Joseph is an example. I mean, his whole family, well, not his whole family. I mean, his dad loved him. But that was a point of contention for the children, the other siblings. And his dad gave him a robe, and boy, that even further just enraged the siblings. And they wanted to kill him. I mean, it came to that point. Well, Yahweh saw to it that they didn't kill him, but that he was taken away in slavery. And Joseph must have thought, wow, all this over a dream that I had, it's hard to say, but we know that he was taken away. He was given some good work, and he seemed to be prospering, even though, there were enemies of his own family that were against him. Well, it turns out that another trial came his way, but he did the right thing. I mean, there was his master's wife that approached him for, improper relations, and he avoided it. He ran. And he was imprisoned for it. Well, here I did the right thing, and now I'm suffering. But Yahweh wasn't done. And he spent 2 years in prison. And we read of the account in Genesis 39, 40. Even in 40 and verse 14, you can see how Joseph was feeling in talking to some that were there. They were released. And he said to them, mention to me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. He was in there for 2 years, chapter 1 of 41 tells us. So we find that sometimes we go through difficulties even up to 2 years in the case of Joseph here. But Joseph lived and prospered, and he was blessed in many ways that we can't even imagine. I mean, having rulership of and having having the kind of authority as he did. I mean, they were bowing down to him. Even his family, as his dream revealed, they ended up bowing down to him as well. But he didn't hold hard feelings towards them, and so there's an example there of how we really need to overcome those resentful feelings that we may have towards those that we perceive have hurt us. And we personally, here at this assembly, have struggled with this. I personally have struggled with this. And I know it takes time. It can take, a good amount of time to recover. But I think we are recovering, and I think we're moving forward, and I think Yahweh is with us and helping us. And we see time and time again help that we're receiving when we need it at the appropriate times. And so we can move forward with confidence, knowing that Yahweh will see us through these difficulties and different trials that come our way. And of course, Job is a faithful individual in the Bible. He's considered a righteous man in his time. And we see Satan working at that time as well. And here, you know, Job was pretty well to do. In Job 1, verse 3, his possessions also were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and very many servants. And that man was the greatest of all men of the East. And so he was very well to do. He was being blessed by Yahweh, and certainly had things to show that. But Satan approached Yahweh. Yahweh asked Satan, where you been? Oh, I've been roaming around on the earth. Doesn't say I'm roaming around like a ferocious lion, but that's exactly how he does roam around. We're given that information in the New Testament. But he tells Yahweh, verse 11, after Yahweh says, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Well, Satan says, "Put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." So he's given Yahweh a challenge here. Did Yahweh say, "No, he won't. Forget it. Get out of here"? No, he said, "Okay. I give him in your hands. Just don't kill him." These type of things. And go over to Revelation 12, 10. Do you think this is not happening today? Revelation 12 and verse 10 tells us, towards the end there, of the Satan, "He who accuses them before our Elohim day and night." Satan is accusing us, the brethren, day and night. Do we have to be careful what we do? Do we have to be focused on Yahweh and those things that He wants? Day and night, it says. Well, the interesting thing about, looking through and seeing some of the things of Scripture, it indicates that Yahweh's people go before Him day and night also, with praises, with requests, with prayer. In general, to give up to Yahweh. It's like the sense or the incense of the saints, as it's referred to. So Satan has his work cut out for him, but so do we. And we're to do these things so that we can overcome. There are things that we can do to help draw close to Yahweh and to overcome. And we know that Job lost all, but he received double what he had had before, and so he was blessed. And I think we will be blessed as well, not necessarily in this life, but in the life to come. And it's going to be in such a way that we can't comprehend at this time just how great it will be. I think if we could, it might help us more to be encouraged, but we know Yahweh's word is true, and we can be encouraged by it. And so that's why we have to keep studying. We have to keep reviewing. We have to look and see just what Yahweh promises and review that again and again and again, like a circular type of thing that we go through each year, even with the feast days. We do these things again and again as a reminder, because we forget. If we go off and do our own thing, we'll forget. And so we have to review. And this is how Yahweh has it set up. And it's to help us. It's for our own good. Let's look at 2 Corinthians, some of Paul's sufferings. And we know he suffered along with some of the other brethren there. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 25, starting there. Three times I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, three times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys and dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers in the sea, dangers among false brethren. You know, you have to catch your breath, you know, just reading through the list of things that did happen. He said, and he's not bragging, he's just saying this is what has happened. I've been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights and hunger and thirst, often without food and in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure of me of concern for all the assemblies. Who is weak without my being weak? And who is led into sin without my intense concern? If I have to boast, I will boast of what pertains to my weakness. The Elohim and Father of the Master Yahshua, He who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. So we see difficulties that those who have gone before us have had to suffer. And, you know, in looking at the world and what's happening in it, I mean, we've seen some difficult times here recently, but things could even take a turn for the worse. But we know those that have gone before us, and even those now suffering from cancer or even kidney stones or whatever the case may be, need our prayers, and they themselves, I trust, are going before Yahweh's throne morning and night to seek His intervention in their lives and to give them comfort. But we know that Yahshua received stripes, insults, and ultimately death. Abraham, Joseph, Job, Paul, Yahshua, and others show us that we are not alone in sufferings and in trials that will test the very fabric of who we are. In fact, it will make and mold us into who we should be, a loving, submissive, and humble people. Matthew 27 and verse 27. Matthew 27, verse 27 through 31. Then the soldiers of the governor took Yahshua into the praetorium and gathered the whole Roman cohort around him. And they stripped him. You know, this is after the scourging, which scholars believe that ripping off of his clothes there would have been extremely painful after that scourging with the whips and the things that were attached to those whips. That's described as, you know, like little pieces of bones and, you know, things that are like barbed wire that would just rip a person apart. And this is the type of punishment that the Romans dealt to those that were against them. But it says they stripped him, and then they, you know, to shame him, they put a scarlet robe on him. And after twisting together a crown of thorns, Verse 29, they put it on his head and a reed on in his right hand, and they knelt down before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spat on him and took the reed and began to beat him on the head. Well, he'd already had the crown of thorns put on his head, so what was happening there? It would have driven those thorns to scratch the skull, even maybe embedding into the bone of the skull. This is the type of suffering that our Savior went through. And it's, you know, we're to be a part of his suffering. I mean, what do we have to go through? If we're going to partake in his glory, we have to partake in his suffering at times. And so it's a difficult thing to think about. And for some that come into the faith, they don't realize just how bad it can get sometimes. But we're encouraged to remember what's coming and remember the promises that were given. But it says in verse 31, after they had mocked him, they took the scarlet robe off of him and put his own garments back on him and led him away to basically put him on the stake. Difficult. Very difficult thing that he went through for us. And Yahweh allowed it because Yahweh loves us, and it was the type of sacrifice that we needed in our lives. And so, we need to be very careful how we treat one another and how we serve Yahweh, because our life really depends on it. Of course, Abraham, Joseph, Paul, Job, Joshua, and there are others, such as the Old Testament prophets who overcame their difficulties. Joshua certainly had Yahweh's spirit and help, and that is good news. His words are a testimony to us. John 16:33, where he talks about, look, I've overcome, so be of good courage. But we can expect trials. 1 Peter 4. First Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. These are the kind of scriptures that we need to review when we're going through extremely fiery trials, and we do go through them at times. It says, do not be surprised. Know that these things will come. In verse 13 here, we get into referring to the sufferings of Messiah. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Messiah, keep on rejoicing, so that you also may also at the revealing of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation. For if you are reviled for the name of Messiah, you are blessed, because the spirit of glory of Elohim rests on you. And then it goes over some admonitions not to, sin and do these evil things. But to have courage and to do what Yahweh would have us to do. This country, this world, when it comes to our history, we can look at things like the bubonic plague. Millions died. Suffering was intense at that time. There was a Great Depression in this country, very severe. Took 3 years to get out of it to where we could just, really start getting on our feet. It was before I was born, but I did read an article recently in a gardening magazine where a 97-year-old was questioned about, his gardening and stuff like this. And he said during the Great Depression is when he started his first garden. And he said at that time, if you didn't do that, you didn't eat. And that's just the way it was. And if we go through anything like that again, we can expect the same type of distress and trouble from that. But I think it's going to be a much bigger thing. And it could be the thing that the catalyst that brings about the beast, mark of the beast, and these type of things that is talked about in Revelation 13. But we may have many years to go, but we may have very few as well. So we need to be circumspect about what we do with the time that we have, because We could leave here today, and that it might be our last day. But praise Yahweh, it was used to give Him glory and honor. If Yahweh decides that our time is to be no more at this point. But we all know that we are given this life, and we're given opportunities. And certainly Yahweh is calling out some that will have a tremendous opportunity. And we believe that those things that are coming are not to be compared with those things that we go through now, whether they're difficult or not. So we're not to worry, really. We're to be prepared to endure, and to endure it with joy, knowing that knowing who is in charge. We know that Yahweh is in charge, and we know that His promises are true. And I've had my own fiery trials personally. I was in a motorcycle accident a number of years ago, and it should have killed me. I should not be here. But I remember, and my experience with it was not one of, oh, why me? It was one of, boy, am I glad to be alive. Yahweh really saw me through this, even though I didn't know His name. It was a rainy day. I probably shouldn't have been out on the motorcycle. And I know that I had prayed a couple times, not just once, but twice, because the rain was pretty heavy and you could hardly see, out in the evening at that time with a heavy rain. The car made a U-turn in front of me, and I went flying. And this was highway speed that I was going. So I didn't go just a few feet. I went like 60 feet, they said. And the neurologist that checked me out after being in the hospital for a number of days affirmed that, most that went through what I just had gone through normally don't end up very well. They're either dead or they have a lot of damage. And he said, you're fine. I did have a broken wrist. That healed up. The doctor that worked on me said, you couldn't have broken it in a better place. So I was happy about that. But Yahweh saw me through. And so my attitude, I realized that He had protected me, even though He allowed me to go through it. And I think, Joseph must have had a sense that even though Yahweh was causing him some discomfort and that his own family was turning against him, that he could take confidence in Yahweh. And Yahweh says that He was with him, that because Yahweh was with Joseph, that's why all these things worked out for the good. And that's why we have to keep that in mind as well. Now, there are 7 benefits in overcoming trials. 7 that I found. I'm sure there are more. But 7 I think is significant because like in the week, 7 days, it's a completion, but it's also symbolic of spiritual perfection. I mean, it's the number of Yahweh, 777, whereas the number of man is like 666. So number of man versus number of Yahweh. I'd rather be on the side of Yahweh and have number 7. But we can rely less on ourselves, number one, and we are, in effect, becoming less self-reliant. Abraham knew Yahweh was in control and could even resurrect Isaac, I do believe. 2 Corinthians 1:8-9, Paul was Yahweh-reliant through intense despair and affliction, and he came out of it a stronger individual. You might just write these down, and we won't go to them because of the limited time, but 2 Corinthians 1:8-9. And then James 5:13. We do actually draw closer to Yahweh. I don't know if that actually fits into one or can be separate there. I put it down as number 2 though. James 1:2-3. We learn patience. We have increased faith that Yahweh can see us through all difficulties. And that's what happens when you see Yahweh's hand working things out in your life over time, and it doesn't happen necessarily right away. It can take a number of years for us to actually be able to, really confidently say, yes, at that time, I know for sure, because look at where I'm at today. I'm in His truth, and I understand His word much more clearly than I did at that time, and He has even revealed His name to me today. So we can hold that in confidence and actually share it with others. But having the confidence of Yahweh in our life and His hand guiding us. Number four, another benefit of overcoming trials is that we build spiritual muscle. Discerning right from wrong and being more dedicated to doing what is right. In other words, we are able, through overcoming trials, to build good, strong, moral character. And that's something that we're going to need in the future, as we see the world becoming more difficult to live in. Number five. Did I mention Hebrews 5:14? That was number four. Number five, 2 Corinthians 1:3 through 4. We learn to be compassionate towards others. We learn to be compassionate towards others. 2 Corinthians 1:3 through 4. And that's something through experience. You know, Yahshua understands our frailties because he lived and he wasn't protected in such a way that he didn't go through some suffering himself. Of course, he went through much greater suffering than many of us will ever go through, but he was tempted in all areas, it says. So those temptations weren't kept from him. He was tempted in all areas, it says. So he can relate to what we go through, because as it happens, we are tempted at times ourselves. Number six, James 5:10-11. We become joyful when we overcome certain trials. And we do that because, whew, I made it, you know. That was a tough one. Wow. Didn't know if I was going to make it through that one. But you get through it, and you go on, and you become stronger, I think, because of it. And so we can be joyful. Number seven, overcoming trials and tests in this life allows us to enter the coming kingdom. Revelation 2 and 3, specifically the promises to the assemblies, to the individuals within those assemblies of Yahweh. The promises, if you overcome, this will happen. If you're faithful to the end, this will happen. Those blessings are out of this world, literally. To reign with Yahshua, I can't imagine it. But that's the promise. And I would really encourage us to review those, to go through those, and to understand, you know, maybe a good analogy might be the diamond. You know, for a diamond to be created, a 1-carat diamond, the scientists say there has to be about 4 tons of coal that gets pressurized down to the point where this diamond can be created. Intense pressure. And we go through intense pressure at times, fiery trials. But not only do we go through them, it feels like we're getting cut up sometimes. And that's exactly what happens to a diamond. A diamond gets cut. After it's formed, it gets cut and shaped. And of course, Scripture talks about us being as living stones. And these stones have to be shaped and fitted. But, you know, when thinking about some of these things, diamonds are beautiful. But it takes a process for that beauty to really shine. And we're going through a process. Yahweh is allowing us to go through this process. Why? Because He knows that it's going to take some pressure. It's going to take some refining. It's going to take some cutting that can hurt sometimes. But in the end, we are to shine brightly. And that's, Yahweh sees the end from the beginning. So He knows what it's going to take, collectively, individually, for every single one of us. And our part is to choose what the right things, the right way, His way, so that these things can come about. And I don't think He called us out to receive the Spirit, for Yahshua to be working with us and for the Spirit to move us and help us. I don't think all this happened because Yahweh thinks we're not going to make it. I think He thinks and is pretty confident that we will make it, but He's going to give us help so that we can. And we need to really meditate upon some of this and go before Him day and night. Because there are some things that are going to come, and it may happen in our lifetime, which is going to scare a lot of people. It's a tribulation. And there seems to be signs of it even in their foremost parts, like an iceberg, the tip of an iceberg that's coming. There seems to be indications that tribulation's on its way. We haven't lived through it. We haven't really seen the difficulties that could really come upon this country and upon this world. But we know that we can have confidence in Yahweh through Yahshua Messiah. May Yahweh bless us.